Frank, of Spain. Over to you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, good morning. We are glad to be back with you to present the first quarter performance of 2017-18. In the process, we will also touch on outstanding targets for 2016-17. We hope that you had received the documentation timely. It was an effort from our side to ensure that the documentation was available on time. There are also, Chairperson, various supporting documents that go with the presentation, which we will not be speaking to, except as we go through the presentation, but obviously the Portfolio Committee would be welcome to raise any issues from that. Chairperson, I am going to make a couple of opening remarks and then hand over to the Head of Strategic Management and the various managers to talk us through the presentation. Let me start off, though, by introducing to you our DDGC, who joined us precisely yesterday. Shoki Chabalala on my left has joined us as DDGC. We welcome her on board, and we are also in the process of getting two chief directors in the STEE branch to join us as from the 1st of September. So the STEE branch is going from strength to strength. The Portfolio Committee will be aware of the fact that in the matching and placing, the majority of the skill set that we had in the department was more appropriately placed in the policy stakeholder knowledge management branch. And STEE has been significantly under-resourced, but we are now able to address that. In addition, we have a risk officer. Our risk officer had taken a promotional appointment to another department, and we are filling that post as from the 1st of October. I think it would be useful for the Portfolio Committee to take note of the fact that in the middle of May, after our assessment of performance at the end of the first month, we had had a two-day operational planning work session in which we had looked at the quality of our operational plan, refocused the operational plan, improved the quality of operational plans, and I think most importantly, ensured that operational plans were not done in silos. So we were able to craft the connections between, for example, the chief directorates in the C branch and the research and policy analysis team, or the links between those components and the or the links between those and the outreach team. So we have a far better, more integrated operational planning, but in addition, we have also ensured that in our operational plan, the work begins in the is visible in the operational plan timelessly. So one will no longer see in the department's operational plan an event only in the month that it takes place. One will see the preparatory work that is taking place there. That has enabled us to have a consensus around the work that we're doing in the department. It did, however, mean that there was some tweaking of some of the first quarter targets, and that has resulted in a bit of a delay in some areas, but not in the sense that we won't be able to catch up with that and are catching up with it in the second quarter. The committee is also aware from our previous presentation that we've had service providers procured in certain respects to be able to unblock particular elements, and I think the most important is the service provider in relation to the M&E framework, which again will be discussed as people present on it, but from my side, significant progress being made in that regard, and what is critical about that M&E framework is that it does enable the work of practically, and I think every other chief directorate in the core business. On the financial and supply chain management program, we have made very significant progress. in terms of our turnaround strategy. The audit report will be with you when we table the report, but we are making significant progress. The acting CFO will be able to speak on that in more detail as he presents. But just to flag that we have ensured that the capacity that is helping us to stabilize that sub-program is still in place and will continue through until December. We have, as executive management, with full support of the Audit and Risk Committee and the Minister, ensured that we put greater attention on consequence management in terms of financial management, in terms of HR management, people empowerment, and in terms of performance management, and I mean core business performance management, delivery, as opposed to the assessment of staff. So that is an issue that we are taking seriously. It will be a corrective-driven approach to consequence management, trying to counsel people to be able to perform differently, but at the same time, if that intervention does not deliver, then ensuring that we do go through the rest of those processes. I think the last element that I wanted to lift up as opening remarks is to say that I am comfortable to report to the Portfolio Committee that our Audit Steering Committee is a very different Audit Steering Committee from what we had previously. Under the chairpersonship and stewardship of our acting CFO, it is working very seriously with intensity, not only in terms of enabling audit processes, but in terms of enabling the root causes of the audit findings to be addressed. One of the elements that we had discussed at the last expo was that in some instances, the reason why previous audit action plans have not necessarily avoided a repeat finding is because the root cause had not been correctly crafted. So the Audit Steering Committee has put significant energy into examining whether what has been recorded by the auditing process as the root cause is indeed the root cause, and where there is a cause that is deeper than that, lifting that up to ensure that we really drill down to what is going to make a difference in relation to that. So, Chairperson, with those as the opening remarks, I'd like to hand over to Chief Director of Strategic Management to be able to take you through the presentation. She will hand over to the relevant managers as we go through the session.
An introduction
for
you?
I think the only new staff... Oh, I'm sorry. We have two new staff. My apologies. I have introduced the DDG on my left. Right at the other end of our row of people is Phelile Ntuli, who has joined us as in the ministry as a researcher, opinion piece writer, support person to the minister, and obviously working very closely with the department in relation to that. My apologies to her for not having realised that this was the first. This is the problem. Once people have been in the department for a couple of weeks, we start not sensing them as new people, and she certainly has hit the ground running. Chairperson, I think everybody else is known. Mr. Boy, who is now released of his acting DDGC responsibilities, for which we thank him very much, so he's now back to his responsibility of Chief Director, Economic Empowerment. Zal Matabela, who is our Chief Director of Strategic Management, Ms. Bazima Chiviti, who is our acting CFO and our Head of Corporate Management, Ms. Bongi.
Thank you.
my apologies. Our managers have been introduced. I was at the last manager to be introduced, which is Ms. Bongi Makalweni, who is the ODG as a person responsible for cluster and parliamentary and cabinet matters. So that is the team from our side of the table.
Thank you, PG. Good morning, Chairperson and members of the portfolio committee. We are the Department of Women presenting the first quarter performance information for the financial year 2017-18. The outline of the presentation, Part A, will look at the strategic focus and general information, which I will quickly mention a few key elements there. Part B looks at quarter one performance information. It will also look at each program's performance. Part C, human resource, and D, financial information, will be presented by the acting CFO, the head of corporate management, Mr. Shibisi. And Part E, we look at how the department has been managing the MPET as required. I will look at Part E towards and conclude the presentation. In Part B, we will have Mr. Boy, who was the acting DDGC, taking us through that presentation to further elaborate on the work that they've been doing as Program 2. I will then look at Program 3 within Part B in the absence of the Ms. Ramaphosa, the DDG of Program 3. The strategic focus, SONA, NG10, MTSF, and SDGs, it remains the same throughout 2016-17. I will not further elaborate on it. It details our mandate. We are still championing the advancement of women socioeconomic empowerment and the promotion of gender equality with a vision that the whole society will realize the socioeconomic empowerment of women. We also look at the MTSF, the outcomes that the department looks at, outcome 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6, 7, 10, 13, and 14 in support of the NGP. We are particularly focusing on the objectives of an inclusive and equitable growth path that puts women, children, and other vulnerable groups at the center of government and medium-term goals. We do this through analysis, monitoring, and intervention design of policy and program implementation, which we do through our public participation programs and outreach programs. We also make knowledge and information available in the department for the promotion of an evidence-based approach to women's empowerment and gender equality. The next slide that I'm going to look at is slide 6, where we look at the overall performance information for quarter one. We have achieved 41% of the targets which were planned. 59% were not achieved. The department had an overall number of targets. There were 32. We achieved 13 and 19 were not achieved. The detail of the information is also linked to the budget, which will be further elaborated when Mr. Shibisi presents the expenditure for quarter one. However, the figure which is projected shows that we had an expenditure of 59 million out of the 206 million for the financial year. for quarter one. That is what was the actual was 45 million. The department has spent 22% of its budget at the end of the quarter, which has an underspending amount of 7.2 million, which will be further elaborated in the presentation. In program one, we have 14 targets. Six targets were achieved against 8 which were not achieved, which is in percentage 43% achieved against 57% were not achieved. We had planned our annual target for 17-18. However, this presentation will focus on the quarter one target, which is the first column. The first target under sub-program departmental management is the report on the implementation and impact of risk mitigation. This target was not achieved due to the fact that we had a delay in the finalization of the integrated risk register, which was presented to ESCO. However, it needed further refinement and work to be done by the risk mitigation committee. We will come back in quarter two to report on the progress made on risk. The DG has already indicated that we have had the chief risk officer leaving the department at the end of May, where he has resumed duties in another department. So we have suffered that gap. We have, however, finished the recruitment processes, which are also included in the information under HRO recruitment that we have interviewed, and the chief risk officer is anticipated to start before the end of quarter two. We were also, we had a target on the zero draft APP, which was developed, and we are currently working on the first draft of the APP. The target on the fourth quarter performance report was achieved. We have submitted the report to National Treasury and DPME. The status report on MPES improvement plan was produced, and it was approved by the Director General. The three-year strategic internal audit plan was not achieved due to the fact that when risk falls behind, they are not able to then identify key programs that they must embark upon in quarter one for the department. However, since this matter has been fast-tracked, they will be able to the internal audit is currently working on the first draft plan, which was approved by the audit and risk committee. The alignment has taken place during this quarter with the risk register, so they will then also include those identified risk areas for their internal audit plan. The 25% of internal audit projects in the annual plan completed was achieved. This refers to the fourth quarter performance information, which they have produced. The annual financial statements, where they were also audited, the annual performance information, which will be in the annual report, were also audited, and they have also conducted audit follow-up in the financial interest disclosures of the department. The 95% internal audit recommendation made in the previous quarter were not implemented, due to the fact that all outstanding audit findings on performance information and the financial statement review, even though they were implemented, 61% of those findings were still outstanding, and they were going to be finalized by year end. The financial management sub-program, the 100% payment of all valid invoices to the fact that 63% was paid within 30 days, but 37% of the invoices were not met. The reason for deviation was due, the department had Vodacom invoices which relate to the 2015-16 financial year, which had to be reconciled, and we had to make sure that all the queries that finance had on those late invoices that were supplied to us were verified. Hence, the huge number of percentage, the 37%, were not paid within the 30 days. The department had prioritized this area of work. As you may recall, in our previous presentations, we have committed that we will also induct the service providers in the requirements for them to attach all the valid supporting documents that will enable the department to meet the payment of all invoices within 30 days as required. The target to maintain less than 2% underspending against the spending plan was also not achieved. The underspending was attributed to the vacancies in the process of being filled, which are also indicated that the posts are for a special advisor and the CFO. These also relate to the office accommodation invoices for June, which was also paid out of the quarter in July. The consultations and symposiums which were planned were not done due to the reprioritizing of the sanitary dignity project, and this led to us having an understanding. The next target is 95% of external audit findings implemented. This was not achieved. The reason for deviation is an effective action step for not addressing the root causes. The DD has elaborated on the project that the audit steering committee has embarked on, which is chaired by the acting CFO, to ensure that the managers address the root causes on the audit findings and make sure that the processes are put in place to avoid repeat findings in the audit of 2016-17. In corporate management, the next target is to maintain less than 10% vacancy rate. It was achieved. The vacancy rate as at 30 June was at 4.7%. The target on 100% of all disciplinary cases resolved within 90 days was not achieved. We still have one disciplinary hearing which is still in progress. And two investigations are in progress. The head of corporate management will elaborate on the cases that are taking place within the department at a later stage in the presentation. The 95% availability of ICT systems was achieved. An SLA report for April, May, June 17 was a verification source which supported this achievement. The progress report on delivery against the quarterly targets of the year one business systems implementation plan was not achieved. The focus was on stabilizing the network infrastructure post its reconfiguration. You will recall that we, as a department, for a long period of time, we were incubated in the presidency. So these are processes to, which are required for us to be independent and not be incubated anymore in the presidency. And it was also critical to inform the technical requirements to set up our systems. I will ask Mr. Boyle to continue with the report on program two, then I'll come back and present program three.
Good morning, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, and as well as the members of Parliament and fellow colleagues. I will proceed from page 19 of the program, but basically where I would want to pitch it, I need to indicate up front that during the quarter under review, we had 10 targets planned for the sub-program, which is two, or program two, if I can put it that way, of which three have been achieved and seven not achieved. Tying from the opening remarks by the DG, who clearly indicated that the performance of program two needs to be seen within the context that it's one program which has never been like fully staffed, or shall I maybe perhaps point it out that, you know, fully resourced, and my apologies there, and pointing out that I think going forward, with against the background that we have already alluded to, that effectively we now have a DG who joined us effectively from yesterday, and the two chief directors of the sub-programs who will be on board from the 1st of September, things can only improve from there. Looking at the slide 20, which also you can read at page 20, those are financials in terms of what we had within the quarter and what has been spent, which really results into 23%, but the Chief Financial Officer will definitely like delve into that in detail. But also to indicate that in our financial performance program for two, we also want to highlight that you can see that only 9.5% of the budgeted funds were spent, and that will relate to the Office of the DDG. The first sub-program there is social empowerment and transformation, and then you can see the figure there in terms of spend. And it then proceeds to governance, transformation, and justice and security, and with the percentage there also mentioned. The last program that we do have is the economic empowerment and participation with 13.9%. You can see that the biggest chunk of the budget is really like transferred to the Commission for Gender Equality. Now, getting to the actual work of the program two, out of the 10 targets that are alluded to, the first target that I want to record back is on the under sub-program social empowerment and transformation. The work there, as you can see from the far left, if you are reading from that direction, is to develop policy framework for sanitary dignity. And the target has been achieved because what we had put for quarter one was to have a draft policy, and also to indicate that that draft policy has been fully consulted with the social cluster, which is a full DG cluster, on the date mentioned there, the 21st of June. We have since gone back to the technical working group based on the comments that we received, and we'll be back again at the very same cluster at the DG level on the 30th of this month. Also to indicate that comments received, because it's work in progress until the policy finally gets cabinet approval stamps, we keep on integrating the feedback that we receive. Just to indicate in terms of the stakeholders that we have consulted were government departments, and I'm sure the members of parliament will be fully aware of the fact that last time we reported that we have constituted a national task team, which is constituted of critical departments, but we have since broadened the scope. So in our consultation, we also included provinces, as well as stakeholders from civil society, and as well as business and other interested and affected parties. As we move, then the next sub-program that I want to indicate progress on is on the economic empowerment and participation. The key indicator there is to do analysis in order to measure progress against each component of the 9-point plan. The background, if I can contextualize it, we reported last time that from the retreat we agreed that we were going to focus on four areas in terms of the 9-point plan. I think it would make our job easier, if I can articulate those four areas. We identified access by women to developmental finance institution funding, and that was the target for quarter one. So that work actually lagged behind, because the first thing that we had to get off the ground was to first get the approval by the EA, Executive Authority, in terms of those focus areas. And hence you can see that it's green. But subsequent to that, that work has since been delivered, but we wouldn't have changed the color here until we get the final approval from the Executive Authority. The second focus area, it really talks to access by women into, in fact, the engendering of women through access into mainstream economy. And what we've identified was to really look at the top 100 JSE listed companies. And what we'll be doing in terms of the next quarter, in terms of that work, we'll really be focusing on the ownership patterns as well as management control. Because we want to believe that if we were to talk about inclusive economy, so we should be able to see that transformation also happening at the highest possible level, but not forgetting that women are almost, you know, found at every place. So when we talk about access, it's just that for the current financial year, that's the work that we had undertaken that we'll do. The third focus area is really to focus on the access by women to skills development, but particularly looking at entrepreneurship. Because if you look at that through skills, then you'll be able to enable lots of women to enter the economic mainstream, but at the same time, not only as job seekers, because if we get it right at a level of entrepreneurship, you also like sort of, you know, position them to also be employers, in other words, to be job creators. The fourth focus area is around access to land and property rights by women. And again, it needs to be seen in the context of, in the days gone by, that has always been a hurdle in terms of the discriminatory policies and also policies around spatial development, which were not really in favor of the development and economically empowerment of women. The targets which have not been met, you can see that in terms of the report on the economic empowerment of women in the non-term plan, I've already alluded to the fact that that work has already been done, submitted, and I'm sure when we return, then we should be able to then live to our promise that that will be achieved during second quarter. But we also indicate there in terms of the reasons for deviation. The moving then to women financial inclusion in terms of the development of the framework, it hasn't been achieved, but safe to point that a discussion document has been developed, which basically also has to tie in back to the four focus areas. So in terms of the women financial inclusion, we have agreed as a department that we need to anchor it at a possible or level where we really have to analyze how women have been doing in terms of access to DFIs, developmental finance institutions. The consultation in terms of that draft has been done in terms of what we call government departments, but the target, as you can see there, it remains unachieved, because what we now need to do is to convert that discussion paper into a concept paper. So it's basically like, you know, taking through the process dictated by government. The slide where I am at the moment is slide 24 or 24. And that talks to the target in terms of the interventions on the government focal points. We have reported, I think, more or less same information, but with showing improvement in terms of where are we at the current moment. Work has been done, finalized in terms of the appropriate location of the gender focal point, and CAD memo has since been developed. But what we are waiting for, and as far as 2 weeks back, it's a confirmation of a meeting that has to take place between our minister and her DPSA counterpart, so that we can then agree in terms of the recommendations in that head memo. The slide, which is 25, talks to the target of the gender-responsive budgeting. The target for the quarter has not been achieved. However, a meeting has been initiated with the academia and gender-responsive budgeting aspects. And that meeting, in terms of what we call a symposium, is planned to take place during the course of this quarter, which is the second quarter of the current financial year. The next target, which basically I think is the last in terms of program two, it's looking at the intervention to enhance prevention and elimination of violence against women and children. We have since reported that that has been tied in with the National Dialogues Project. So basically during the National Dialogues, as and when they take place, and our work within program two is really to come up with an analytic report, which will definitely begin to indicate in terms of where are the issues which really needs attention, and therefore preparing the ground for developing what we call interventions. So I need to indicate that the report which has been produced, it wasn't like approved, and basically it was sent back, and in terms of the interventions around the corrective measures, we're indicating that we would build in the social mapping process. And the social mapping process that we refer to, it's as and when we plan to go into a particular province, then we need to understand in terms of the socio-economic factors that might be issues or on the ground, so that by the time when dialogues are done, we are able to leave interventions that can always be revisited and be monitored. The I think it takes me up to there, and so that now I'm able to hand to the fellow colleague in terms of taking us through the work of program three. Thank you.
Program three had 8 targets planned. 4 of those targets were achieved. Meanwhile, the other 4 was not achieved. The expenditure for program three was, the actual expenditure was 6 million, and it had they've had an overspending of 275,000. The first target for program three was the development of the first draft report on socioeconomic empowerment of women through government economic incentive schemes. This, during the operational plan retreat, was decided to be commissioned to external to a service provider, an external expertise. And a draft report was then approved by ESCO, which led to the achievement of this target. The targets on the report on gender communication and information resources loaded onto the repositories of on the internet and the intranet of the department was not achieved due to human resource capacity constraints. However, the director communication has just been appointed in June, and we will be reporting on this work in quarter two. The stakeholder coordination and outreach sub-program had to perform 3 public participation outreach initiatives on the socioeconomic empowerment of women, including young women. They held an invisa in Soshanguve on the 21st of April, and a Take a Girl Child to Work was held on the 25th of May, and hashtag not in my name and hashtag 365 for no violence against women and children's campaign was held on the 26th of May, which led to the achievement of this target. The national dialogues at provincial level on violence against women and children, this is work that is continuing as we speak. We are having dialogues in the Northern Cape, and we had initiated the social mapping and the preparatory work, which also meant consultation with the Premier of Mpumalanga by our minister to prepare for the dialogues to take place in Clyden 2 in Mpumalanga. The reason for deviation on this work is that the preparatory work which had to be done within the first quarter was not finalized when we closed the quarter in June. Hence, the dialogues are currently taking place, and moving from one province to another. The stakeholder coordination and outreach sub-program, they also had a target one participation report on international multilateral forum. There's a report on South Africans' participation at the Commission on the Status of Women, which was approved, which led to the achievement of the target. The next target was the Commission on the Status of Women report, which is produced annually. It was produced, and this is a report that is available. The sub-program M&E has not achieved the target on performance monitoring report on the 9-point plan and the target on performance monitoring report on outcome 14. However, I would like to take the committee through the alignment work that came out of the operational planning retreat that we had in May, which meant to customize the work that happens within Program 2 and Program 3, that is M&E related. It focuses on the four key elements that Mr. Boy indicated. So there are internal steering committees that are convened to make sure that as they work, as research program two, economic empowerment and participation, and monitoring and evaluation sub-program, as they look at the 9-point plan, they work in a system that allows them to produce the required report. We will have the report finalized at the end of quarter two, which will lead to the achievement of the target in quarter two. We've also included in slide 37 the progress in implementing outstanding targets for 2016-17. Especially the program one annual targets, I will not waste time with going through them, but only to indicate that some of these targets were had required that the department put systems in place, especially when we look at the compliance with paying invoices within 30 days. The invoices, number one, they have to be valid, and the department has then committed to establishing a register for the control and management of invoice tracking, which then qualifies an invoice as a valid invoice that can be paid, and those which are then found to be compliant, there's a system in place to ensure that they are paid within 30 days. We've had challenges in this previous financial year, 16-17, where you would find that some of the delays were led by managers who did not approve invoices for payment in time. And that led to the department implementing consequence management for those managers that have been found to contribute to the delay in payment of valid invoices. The 100% disciplinary cases, the challenge has been the turnaround on the amount of time which the disciplinary case would take. However, the department had contracted a fifth-term contractor that supports on the technical work for labor cases. And we are also working closely with DPSA and the PSC to make sure that we address this matter, as we are also monitored by PSC that we have to finalize disciplinary cases within 90 days. The, in program two, the intervention mechanisms on women's social participation, these were those targets which we had to issue an error term on, and they were replaced by the sanitary dignity, so they will not we will not have anything concrete to report on this because we have then focused our energies on the sanitary dignity project. The report on intervention to ensure economic empowerment of women in the 9-point plan is going to be finalized as indicated during 2017-18 at the end of quarter two, including the discussion paper on women's financial inclusion. When the work on the GRB aspects is finalized, we will then be able to produce the paper. The framework on the strategy for gender mainstreaming and GSPs has been held back by the consultative processes that must happen on the CAD memo, which we hope they will be fast-tracked to enable us to finalize these targets. The GRB framework also will be finalized at the end of quarter two. The discussion paper on prevention strategy on the integrated program of action on violence against women and children. The concept documents on dialogues towards the national prevention strategy will be was approved. However, the department will then take the outcome of the dialogue and issue intervention mechanisms onto departments that should intervene in the areas that are identified within the provincial dialogue. The analysis report on best practices on integrated services will also be produced out of the reports of the dialogue. The research analytical report on land reform and agri-parks, this one forms part of the refocus areas on the 9-point plan, and it will be covered on the thematic areas, the four areas that are prioritized, which we have already reported on. The two desk have a research and analytical report. This was a target that we issued an erratum on, so it will be reported at the end of quarter two in line with the outcome of the preliminary report that will be produced under the target on the incentive schemes. The IKM work, the focus is on communication on the gender communication report, which will be produced at the end of quarter three. And the erratum was issued just to correct the domestication into the facilitation of international commitments report, which we will then continue every quarter to produce a report as we did in quarter one. The M&E work, the department has received report on the state of readiness on the assessment tool has been developed. We had a workshop internally with the service providers where we looked at the theory of change and the logic model on how to improve the M&E system, which will then lead on the finalization of the M&E framework, which will use to monitor government on the economic empowerment of women programs which they are running. The reported cases by nature of gender-based violence analyzed by the justice system is also the target that is going to be finalized in 17-18 within the national dialogue, including the last target, which was supposed to be two reports on analysis of strategic planning documents. This will recall during our report for quarter four, we have indicated that the department will no longer analyze the strategic documents but will take a proactive approach in making sure that we finalize our M&E framework so that departments are clear on the key indicators that we're going to monitor them on the economic empowerment of women. The two impact assessment reports was reported as a long-term work which could not be covered in one financial year, and as a result, we had to re-plan this when we were planning a 2017 financial year to make sure that the targets that we set are targets that can be achieved internally in the department. However, as DG has indicated, in most cases we find that some of the skills that are required to perform the work, especially the work that I've reported in quarter one that it has been outsourced for external expertise, is not work that we had enough human resource capacity to perform, so we find ourselves having to procure services outside of the department. The key achievements for program one are fairly generic, which I'm going to then just move to slide 49, where program three in the core business has had an exciting project where we had four outreach initiatives on women, which included young women. The intergenerational dialogue made a great impact on the work that we did in 16-17. We had a successful National Women's Day, and the 16 days of activism campaign and national dialogue were also implemented, and the International Women's Day. The nine community mobilization initiatives which we had are also mentioned in slide 50. This is one area of work where the department under its sub-program outreach has touched the on women on the ground to make sure that we assess the challenges that they are still experiencing when it comes to gender-based violence. And some we shared information on women economic empowerment programs that are available throughout the government programs. I will hand over to Mr. Shibiki to present part C of the presentation and part B, then we will conclude.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm presenting part C, which is slide 52, human resource methods quarter one. The vacancy rate we maintain less than 10%. Quarter one was 4.7, but however we had four funded posts. The posts are listed there. DG has touched on those positions, except the CFO, which is held in abeyance, subject to the implementation of internal control systems, which we are busy with. We don't experience any challenges except the delays in the security screening. There's a delay, but other than that, we don't have. We had one resignation, which was a media liaison officer. We had the suspension of court is a person who's also undergoing a disciplinary hearing, which it's in progress, and the dates continuously being shifted or arranged between the parties at the tribunal, and the next date is 4 and 5 September and 13, 14 and 15 September. Hopefully on those 5 days they might be able to conclude the disciplinary hearing. Then I'll move straight to part D, which is the financial management for quarter one, which is line 54.
Can I distract you? Number of suspension. This one. Is that the pending one that has been hanging over our heads? for so long. What is the problem for the delays? Because at the end of the day, this department will be in charge. Do you have an explanation? May I ask?
Okay, Chairperson. The delay is beyond the department's control because the employee has changed some representation, the union representation, because initially was represented by PSA. Now she has changed to NEHAU. And now in the process, because the chairperson is an advocate in terms of the law, it allowed for her to get a legal representation.
Mm-hmm.
So she got a legal representation. We should have finalized as we're sitting now, but unfortunately her legal rep got injured and was booked off until the 1st of September. That's why it's resuming on the 4th, and yeah, from the 4th of September moving forward. So it is an impact of her legal representation, but it's under control as we speak. Then financial management, slide 54. For the first quarter, performance administration in terms of the projected expenditure was 23 million, and the actual expenditure was 18. There's a variance of 4.6, and in terms of percentages, it's 22.2. The social transformation economic empowerment resource program 2. The projected expenditure was 24. The actual expenditure was 21.3, and the variance was 2.8, but the percentage is 22.5. For that one, include also the CGE, the transfer to CGE. And then program 3, the projected expenditure was 5.8, the actual expenditure was 6.1, there was an over expenditure of 299,000. So then if we go now in terms of the sub-program, ministry, projected expenditure was 5, they spent 4.9, and the variance was 93,000, expenditure was 27%. But I should maybe indicate the quarter should have spent 25%, but ministry, there was an overexpenditure of 2.6 in terms of that. Departmental, which is the ODG, the projected expenditure was 4.2, they spent 4.1, and the percentages was 24%. Corporate was 5.3, the expenditure was 4, and then the percentages is 21.3%. Financial management, projected expenditure was 4.4, actual expenditure 3.4, and the percentage is 26.2. There was an over expenditure, if I actually get that way, but it's under control, all of them, they're 1.2. Office accommodation, 3.9, we spent 1.8, and then the expenditure in terms of that one is 11.7. I think the narrative we indicated earlier, the invoices that we received. Now we go to program 2. The GDG's office, but the projected expenditure was 9.9, but the expenditure was 487. They spent 9.5. I think it was indicated at that point there was no GDG, only then an acting GDG at the first spot. Now the GDG has started, it will be under control. Then the social empowerment and transformation, which is the chief directorate. The projected expenditure was 1.4. The actual expenditure was 513. There was variance and it's 11.2. It was indicated as well with the chief director as well. We start on the 1st of September. So obviously also there was no chief director in that chief directorate. The governance transformation, justice, is the same thing, 1.4, actual expenditure 393, the percentage is 10%. The chief director as well is starting on the 1st of September, so hopefully it will stabilize. the economic empowerment and participation, the projected 889, the actual expenditure for, and then the expenditure in terms of percentages is 13.9. The CGE projected expenditure is 19.5. The actual expenditure is there's no violation, it's exactly 25%. So the overall percentages of the of branch two, program two, I'm sorry, is 22.5. So program three, the DGG's office, the projected expenditure was 644, the actual expenditure was 1.2, the variance was 568. So there was over expenditure, that means 20.9. The research and policy analysis chief directorate projected expenditure 1.3, the actual expenditure 1 million, and the percentages is 23.1. The information and knowledge management, the projected expenditure was 262, actual 101, which translates into 9.5%. And the stakeholder coordination and outreach, 2.7, the actual 2.7, but there is a slight, in terms of percentages, it translates into 17.2. The M&E, 1 million, they spend 1 million, and the percentage is 25.9. But the overall percentages of the branch is 21.7. So they never overexpend as a program. So expenditure report in terms of the economic classification, the compensation of employees' budget, as at end of June, 17.3, which translates into 24.1%. So there's no overexpenditure in terms of that. Goods and services, 8.7, and then which translates into 16.8%. And transfers and subsidies, which is 25%, the transfer to CGE. The capital budget, we spend 230, translating to 6.0%. And payments for financial aids, there was nothing. So from slide 59, it's a narrative. I got the figures that you indicated, and I can take you quickly on it. So for the first quarter, we spent 22.3% of the appropriation, and it's as follows. Compensation of employees, the underspending of 659 is due to the vacancies that indicated, for instance, the three senior managers, the DG started the two chief directors starting on September, transfers and subsidies over and above the transfer to CGE. Normally when employees resign, of course we indicated there's an employee resign, we pay the leave gratuity. So it's from the transfer. The capital expenditure, the delay, we were supposed to buy a car, but the contract has expired, but it has since now, I think 2 weeks back, if not 2 weeks back, we received to say the contract now is in order, we're able to buy a car. The PA system, it's only then the advice that we got, we can't go ahead and purchase it because it will increase the value of the landlord, because in 3 years' time from now, we'll vacate that building. So the money will be utilized for something else. The procurement of antivirus, at that time we didn't finalize, but it was concluded in July. So program one, of course, it invoices the accommodation, like we indicated, but they were paid in July. Audit fees, the contract that I was talking about, the antivirus, that was done in July. Program two, if you go to slide 62, the variance, the underspending is due to the vacancies within the program that we have been consistent in indicating, and obviously the sanitary dignity and gender responsive budgeting symposia that was indicated, majority of it will take place at the second quarter. Program three, the overspending, again, there was an official, I think, a portfolio committee member will remember part of it in terms of PRRR to say what are the strategies that we're utilizing moving staff from administration into core. During that particular period, this one official was moved from administration into core in it because of budgeting processes. At that time, we didn't ship the money, so there was just an over expenditure in terms of the compensation because of the colleague that was moved from administration to core. Well, the performance of teddy bears for gifts, take a girl child, involves for sanitary business that were required in March, unfortunately paid in this current financial year. So that was over expenditure as well. And the CDO reports. And then the substance account, slide 64, which if the conversion, Treasury promised us to finalize it in this August. In terms of progress, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we didn't incur any fruitless and wasteful expenditure for the whole quarter. It's only then the irregular expenditures here, 432,000, which investigation is underway to determine what were the root causes of that one, and corrective action will be taken. There were no deviations as well for the quarter. Payment within 30 days of invoices, we have to unpack it in terms of the month so that you see where the bulk of the invoices, which months are coming from. April, there was 100% compliance. May, those invoices that we indicated, that Vodacom, all those invoices were Vodacom, either accrual that we indicated earlier, 2015-16. But June invoices, we make sure that we pay within 100% compliance. And there were no major events during quarter one. International trips, this was the fourth African Union high level on gender equality, and women empowerment. The delegation, there were three. The accommodation is indicated there. The second SADC ministers responsible for gender and women, the delegations were six, and the expenditure is indicated. The total expenditure for quarter one in terms of the international trips stands to 199,605.92. The audit, which is slide 68, the AGSA annual audit for 2015-16, I think is the implementation plan for that. In summary, the financial management, the total findings were 54. The one that we resolved at that time, the quarter one, were 22. And they were verified by internal audit, only to find out they were 25, the one that was and unresolved 29, which translates either the resolved one into 46%. The human resource findings were 13, the resolved were 13, internal audit verified, only to find 9 and 4 unresolved, translating to 69% resolved. Strategic management, total findings were 8, resolved 5, verified 5, unresolved 3, translating to 63% resolved. The information, the IT in simple terms, total findings were 4, resolved 1, verified 1, unresolved 3, and resolved translating to 25%. Internal audit, there was one finding, resolved 1, verified 1, unresolved 100%. So the total findings resolved as at the end of June relating to the 2015-16 audit year was 51%. So the next slide just to indicate how the percentage is. And then if we go to slide 70, it's just to indicate the challenges and improvements in terms of implementation of those findings that I indicated here. With the root causes, like DG indicated, the root causes of those audits were not clearly identified, not correctly captured. Action plans not developed to address the root causes by the end of 2015-16. Action plans were not specific. The timelines assigned to specific audit action plans were not specific as well. There were no specific responsibility attached to a person, and quarter reporting monitoring were not done. So, but these are the improvement plans that we're saying were planted. The audit action plans now include the one that we have done, year 16-17, which Gigi indicated that I will present it in the with the second quarter report. This is what we have done. It will make sure that audit revised to include identify real root causes that we were busy with it. The action plan will be specific and detailed, the timeline specific and assigned to all action steps listed in the plan. we attach it to a responsible person, there will be monthly reporting in the audit steering committee. So that's how, for the 16-17, of course, the repeat findings that 15-16 will be included. And of course, audit and risk committee requested us to present also a strategy of how we should deal with it and that a clean audit, we are going to present in this particular Thursday. We have already submitted that information, how we are going to deal with moving forward. There were no cases of financial misconduct were reported during the fourth quarter of 2016-17. I don't know how that was captured, wanted to be. It was a typing error, the typo. Thanks, Chairperson.
Chairperson, I'm going to conclude the report by looking at the impact. The impact will be a short presentation. We were requested by the committee to keep on reporting on the corrective actions that the department has put in place to address our shortfalls on the management performance assessment tool. As we are all aware, that is an annual departmental assessment. It looks at the measures that are being put in place by management to improve the key performance areas, which are strategic management, governance and accountability, human resources and financial management. The department has complied with the deadline of 30 September 2016 to file MPET 1.5, and in the key performance areas, strategic management, these were the final scores that DPME has allocated to the department. So the scores are 1 to 4. If you get a 4, you get a green. If you get a 3, it's that yellow. The 2 is that amber, and then the red. Then they indicate the areas. They give you reasons and areas that led to you getting a 1, a 2, a 3, or a 4. Now the department has an impact improvement checklist in place, which is also tabled at an ESCO level to make sure that managers are held accountable in improving the areas which were raised as a concern, which led to us not being allocated a score of 4, which is fully complied with the required standards. The progress that has been made is tabled on the right side of the table. I will focus on issues that were raised on the annual performance plan. The fact that we had a review of the APP has also led to the department having a reduced score on the APP. However, this is an area of work that the department has also issued an errata for the APP of 2016-17 under two programs, Program 2 and 3, and it was presented before the portfolio committee. The targets are carried through from the strategic plan into the APP. We have explained in the past that due to the nature of our department's mandate and the fact that we were newly established, the strategic direction of the department moved from year to year, which led to the reviews. But we hope that with the checklist that we have put in place, we'll be able to move from one year to another without making any major reviews on the plan targets for the outer years. The evaluation standard is also one standard where we scored a 2, and we have developed a draft concept document to address the standard. Program 3ME is also engaging with DPME for assistance in the development of a multi-year evaluation. So the department here was required to identify a program that will be evaluated. So this is the work that ME is engaging DPME on. The planning and implementation standards is looked at by the directorate planning and reporting. And because we are not a service delivery department, it's very difficult sometimes to have to assess ourselves how we are doing in terms of service delivery when it comes to, it's easy for other departments to get a higher score in that area. We have engaged DPSA and DPME to discuss areas which are a requirement in the MPET, which we find difficult to meet because of the size of the department. But unfortunately, it's an area of work which you are then assessed the same way as they assess a bigger department. But the department has tried its best through the action and the MPET checklist to make sure that we improve the standards which we could. So we have included on the right the progress on areas which, like your management structures, we do have your terms of reference in place, which then gave us a 3. But you'd find that we could not get a 4 because there's a requirement, for example, when it comes to performance information, that you must convene a performance information meeting. And because of the size of the department, we do it inside the ESCO agenda. And when we submit the minutes, we will be disqualified because then we are expected to have a dedicated meeting. But we have resolved that there will be a dedicated ESCO to look at performance information. This also applies to your accountability standards, where you find that our audit and risk is one committee. We don't have two separate committees because we would, you know, it wouldn't make sense because we are such a small department to have many committees where we also spend money paying committee members. So we decided to pull together resources so that we can also comply in those areas. The other areas is your fraud prevention, fraud and corruption, where we have a fraud and prevention strategy and an implementation plan. But we find that we don't conduct awareness raising like in a big department where you will have posters and have dedicated days where there's awareness raising on fraud and corruption, and also to sensitize staff on how to identify fraud. But these are areas which we will be innovative. Even if we are so small, we should start complying by just having posters in our lift, in our entrance areas, and also have, if we have a staff meeting, have of the whole department, we have an item on the agenda on awareness raising on fraud and corruption. Risk management as well. As much as we do have, we conduct risk assessment in the department, you would find that we are not at a, we are, our risk environment has not matured. So we will be disqualified and we got a 2, but these are areas that we are improving. The list on ICT, the director responsible has made progress in making sure that the ICT strategic plan has been approved. We have an ICT implementation plan. Meanwhile, at the time of filing by the end of September 2016, these were not in place. So these are areas that are constantly being improved, especially the red areas. Having said that, Chairperson, if you allow me, I will move to the conclusion because I just wanted to demonstrate the corrective action for a few standards that I have spoken to. But the in conclusion, the department has identified a chairperson that, as much as we do have a strategic plan in place and our APP is in place, the major challenge was on operationalizing the documents and making sure that each and every staff member in the department is clear when it comes to the activities, on daily activities of doing the work. The operational plan retreat that we had in May has strengthened that area. We have made the operational plan available to the committee to see on the improvements that we've put in place. And our ESCO has also endorsed a firm approach on implementation of consequence management for non-delivery of services, being it in line with the performance agreement of the responsible manager, or non-compliance with prescripts and regulations in the public service. So there is that drive that is taking place in the department under the leadership of the DG to make sure that we turn around the environment of the department and make sure that we achieve our set target. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members. I'll now actually give you space for clarity and other questions around the presentation.
Otherwise, go back.
Just to appreciate the presentation, you know, in my mind, before the presentation, I have this question that when the department comes and presents to us, what are they saying they are presenting to who? How do you see us and yourself? Do you see us as what? So that you can present. You know, when you go and make a presentation, when I'm a teacher, I already know the audience that I'm supposed to talk to. Who, in this case, the department, who are they saying they're coming to present to? That's the first question. And then my questions are many. I'm just starting at 63. 63, it says the financial overview, program 3. It says the overspending against projection is due to the following. The first one, it talks about program 1, there's an official that has been moved to program 3, and it doesn't say how much. And then it goes to the number 2. It talks about bags and gifts that were given to kids that went on take a girl child to work. How much and how many kids went there? And then the third one is the invoice on the sanitary picnic pack that was procured in March and paid in April. But you say still you're not a service delivery department, but you still do deliver sanitary packs
and then you pay them. So let me go to page 21.
Sorry to disturb you, honorable members. We have a message from Ochefu. And House Chairperson are kindly requesting the Chairpersons to finish their scheduled committee meeting at 12:15 in order to allow members of Parliament to attend the planned memorial. Let's continue with our questions. Maybe they'll forward them to us. The next question is at 21, page 21. It talks about still the sanitary deficiency plan. Then you say you have a draft framework. Actually, you have not applied the detail of the draft to us so that we can understand, make inputs wherever, because you never take us as stakeholders. Make any inputs to the department. But being as it may, you've made the presentation, we have a draft, we have a policy. I don't understand what is the policy all about. But my questions are, what are the numbers of these girls that you call them indigenous? What is the number? And what is the number of women that you call them indigenous? And then where do you find them? Where are they located? And how are you going to distribute this sanitary pads? Is it a month? Is it a year? Or is it a quarter for each individual? And then how much are you spending? Or who is spending the money? Or which department have you gone in collaboration with? And how much are they incurring? And where do you find the product? Who's making the product? How many people are going to be employed? How are you going to change the lives of these women? Are they going to be on this dependent program or they are going to be on their own? At how long? How long is this program going to take place? And then go to page 22. That the presenter will present the four they have achieved, but this firstly I want to say who's the executive authority, if they can explain who is this executive authority, and then the four targets that they have identified, access to women funding or whatever, I don't know, he said them, all of them, but I'm still saying women are not homogeneous. The most vulnerable women are the rural women, and those rural women, you find them where? Where do you find these rural women? And how are you going to make them access funding in those rural areas? In urban areas, which urban areas are you finding these women? And how are you going to access them? Or because most of the time when you talk about funding for women, you're talking about the elite. So far we have empowered the elite, but the people that government must focus on is the working class and the peasantry. And that is the large number of people. And the middle class and the rest, they can find it on the internet and all that. But how do you target those groups so that you change the lives? Because this is a clear economic empowerment exercise that is going to ensure that it gives the most vulnerable. I mean, the skills development that you're going to talk about talks about an ordinary woman who was excluded from education. This country had a policy of excluding women.
you have to have clear targets. Who are you talking to? So in terms of these four, you need to give me those capitalist structure of oppression of women, and they have to be very clear. And go to the next page. You talk about funding being, you said discussion paper, the next page is 23. Discussion paper to be converted into a framework that focuses on the access by women in the department. Finance. Do you know that the NEF for the last 10 years, they've not been funded by DTI? So how are you going to ensure that this department makes sure that money gets into that NEF, because they have been recycling their money and ensuring that women access the money, but this department has not been helping them to get them funding. So, but you're still going to want them to fund your project. And then you go to page 26. Page 26, the Limpopo dialogue, you said the cabinet probably, because cabinet is the one that you normally send your reports to, not to the committee. Then you said cabinet has rejected your report on the Limpopo dialogue. Whatever that you was rejected, what is it that was rejected? What is the detail of this document so that we can share the information? That is why I'm saying when you come and report, you give us a report. You want us to help you to run and help you to manage the problems of this country, but at the same time, you're not giving information. The issue of take a girl child to work, it's in page 31. You say take a girl child to work was on the 25th of May 2017. How many girls were taken? Who are these girls? Where do you find them? How did you identify them? What impact has this made to these girls? Do you have anything that assesses the impact of the campaigns that you made? Because we want to change people's lives. You must remember that the people that you want to upgrade are people who have never been exposed to the next city. They have never been exposed to the next town. They don't even know the space of the next town. If you take them to work, you want to change their lives for the better. We should not assume that people know what we know. And I can tell you that there are many middle class people who have never gone out of South Africa, who don't even know where Klerksdorp is. Those who are staying in Soshanguve, they have been going to work and back, because that is the structure of South Africa. People are not allowed to see the other people, how they live, how they, you know, are they like them? Because the system has made people to be mabeneplans. So, and yeah, I was saying, that's how you can So, when we talk about our ordinary people, we must talk about that kind of a person. Even, I don't know why domestic tourism is a flourish, because there's a market. You talked about the premier of Mpumalanga. Yeah, you talked about the premier. Where does the premier get involved? When we were saying this department does not ask, how do you access provinces? Because premier's offices don't have the status of women in their offices. We were never given a reply. And how you're going, this department is going to ensure that it reaches women in different provinces. Even today, we don't know how you are able to do that, because there is no link with provinces. Now you say just a simple dialogue could not continue because the premier, I don't know what did the premier do, but whoever presented this knows what the premier did, I don't know. Can I would have asked him yesterday, because I was in a meeting with him, I would have asked, why, what did he do to prevent you from allowing a dialogue? A dialogue, a simple dialogue, where you call in people, you just loud hey, and people come, and then you listen to their issues. The next one is, yeah, I have many pages. Can I start to Yeah, the ANC list. Page 39.
I stop what you say now. Doesn't protect the plan.
I'm going to know who suggesting. Discussion paper on women's financial inclusion. It says program two. On top it says progress with implementing outstanding targets for 2016-2017
financial,
and it says
program
two.
My don't demand. Because I'm saying
I respect your statement.
339 discussion on women's financial
discussion
closed. 39. It says discussion paper on women's, page 39. The topic that it says discussion paper on women's financial inclusion, and the opposite says this work is internal linked, interlinked with gender based violence. It should engage the minister's advisor on the process to follow, which was advised. I don't understand the statement. But the gender-based budgeting, we have been waiting for that workshop. You said you will invite the committee to come and participate. My understanding was that. But now it is based in the minister's advice, sir, to engage. They are doing it. You know, responsive budgeting is being done. So there is a country that we can refer and go and learn if we are able to know how it is done. So that departments are able to budget for women's issues, so that we can progress in ensuring that women are empowered. So in this country, we're still waiting to engage the academia. When is it going to be done? 23 years down the line, we're still engaging the academia instead of learning from other countries. So I think that was my last question. So I'm saying the department is just saying the other countries which we can learn from, you should have brought in documents, even if we don't have to go and study there. Bring in their documents, let us all read them and see how we can best push our departments to gender-based responsive services. Thank you.
May I plead with the next people? We sort of cut our questions because of time crisis. Honorable.
Has covered many of the questions because we were sharing some information while the presentation was on. Maybe I've got some few questions in addition to what she has said, Chairperson. With regards to slide 29, in your retreat, the operational plan retreat session held on the 14th May, the ESCO decided to commission the work to external the work on the draft report on socioeconomic empowerment of women. You have decided to commission the work to external expertise and to continue to set the draft report in a form of the 10th of February. TOR was approved as per ESCO decision during quarter one performance review on the 10th of June, and you're saying the data is being achieved. What is it that you have achieved? Because we said the first draft full report, not the 10th of February. And when you appoint the external expertise, do you have the budget? Was it budgeted for? Is it? And how much are you going to pay them? Thank you. Secretary, Dignity, Honorable Chung, you have covered it, because I know that you are not the service delivery department, so why are you procured? And it has resulted, surely, to an overspending in procurement services, if I'm right. Because this is one of the services that you have not delivered, so, and it's not within your scope. And I think your partnership with other departments is going to assist you in terms of getting this service if you wanted it. Because you are with, when you are doing your consultation of the framework, you are with the social services, with your education and all these other departments that are service, yeah, that are service delivery departments. I think it was easy for you to lobby them and they will be able to give you all those sanitary towels that you want, rather than procuring them, because you are not a service department. And this has resulted in an overspending in program two. And the other issue is the transfer of that employee from program one. I think we have raised it several times and consistently so as a portfolio committee that your program one is bloated. Consistently, the portfolio committee has raised it. Now, at the middle or the first term quarter of the new financial year, the other officials were transferred to other programs. And why is it? Why was it? Why were you not transferring it before the beginning of the financial 2017-2018? Why have you done it now? After we've restructured some few months ago, is it not possible? It says to us that you've got a poor planning in your department. And then how many, the other question is how many people have resigned in your department? Because I heard Mr. Shibiti saying it's only one, which is a media license officer. And I heard the DP talking about the chief risk officer who has resigned. The first office was a media license officer. Okay. And then in terms of your performance, your general performance of the department, I think you are doing very well. Out of 32 targets, you have only managed to implement 13 in your first quarter. And this means that you are going to, you got the two, you're going to have a backup. And surely you're going to have overspending in quarter two. Because quarter one, you have not spent the money that was supposed to be spent in quarter one. But in terms of performance, it's very vital. When you are a student or a teacher, out of 32 marks, you're getting 13. It's a total failure. So this means that, from January, when you are a student in your class, from January to March, and when you raise your performance, you are getting those marks, then you see for yourself that now you are not doing good. And it has been like this, if you want to admit your department. It has been like this, this problem, it has been like this in the previous, for the previous years. So we don't have hope in you that you're going to change in the coming years. And in program future, I think the portfolio committee will be comfortable if you finalize this framework that you are using. Yeah? Your women financial inclusion framework, it has been a draft since I don't know which year. It has been a draft. The portfolio committee will be happy if in the next quarter you present your gender responsive budgeting framework too. The dialogue in or the dialogue in Kumalan. I don't know what the third one was in Lokal Kisa, which is on going to be implemented, the one in the Green Cape. I don't know what the referral will be doing. And from there to Solos, it can be teaching that dialogue. But I don't know what the challenge for you not going there. And Tay, in our oversight in Mpumalanga, we met the speaker of Mpumalanga, who is a woman, and the deputy speaker. So she was also concerned about this department. Because there's no visibility of this department in the province. Because she was speaking on behalf of the province. So she was very much worried. So they're making matters worse now. There's cancer to that dialogue in Mpumalanga. So I'm not quite sure what is it that will say. They will say now with regard to the position of the department.
Sorry.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. On the dialogue, what are the reasons for cancelling?
Chairperson, perhaps I can assist with this. I think, first of all, I really want the Portfolio Committee to understand that this is not a dialogue. It is a series, it's a program of dialogues at district municipality level, and it requires a massive amount of preparation and cooperation between the relevant province and the department.
You had already made an arrangement that one of the dialogues, let me put it that way, was going to be in Mpumalanga. Now, my concern is why and when did you cancel that one? What about the others that were in mind?
Chairperson, let me continue, because I do need the Portfolio Committee to understand that this is not a single dialogue in which one can go into a community and use a loud hailer to call people. This is a program with stakeholders, and it needs to be properly prepared. We have not cancelled the dialogue program. We continue to roll it out province by province. The Mpumalanga one has been delayed because between ourselves, and we take full responsibility for it as a department and the province, we were not able to get the appropriate level of preparation done for it to be able to take place at the time that it was planned for. But it is a process in which the Minister and the Premier have been consulting. I want to correct the view, and I apologise if we have presented it in the way that it was Mpumalanga that actually cancelled it. It was a process in which our preparation was not at the minister's satisfaction to be able to go ahead at the time. And then at the stage at which we were ready, there were other programs that both the minister and the premier were involved in that meant that the time that was available at that for us to roll it out was no longer available. We then moved into preparation for National Women's Day and Women's Month. And our plan in terms of that was the dialogues would take place in the Northern Cape. We intend returning back to Mpumalanga. So I do want us to understand that we are at no stage stopping the process. We will take on board the concerns raised by the Speaker and the Deputy Speaker. The Mpumalanga Dialogue Program, which will target the particular district municipalities in which the violence against women and children is worst, will still take place.
And trafficking is very hard.
Yes.
This is why we are not actually, we're not isolating from one another, but I'm talking from experience, where I got girls out of a truck, and those girls were from the age of 14 to 16. Please, Shriner, go back to your drawing board and ensure that you actually go back to Mpumalanga.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Are you the rest of
Kaula in the next one. After Kaula.
To do so much planning, but very little is actually carried out. So, my concern about that. And then I'll just stick to two, the sanitary dignity. I take on board what was being said. But again, we're spending so much time on policy. For heaven's sake, the lives of girls are being destroyed through lack of education. Can we just put a bit of an accelerator on in what we're doing? Because everything's just draft, draft, draft. But I also was interested in those dialogues, and I recall what was we've said before. We don't know what you're doing. We would like to be involved. Can you please let us know when things are happening? If we can't personally be there, we can ask other people to attend and to participate so that we can feel as representatives of ordinary women that we are actually playing a role in improving their lives. I also would like to know more about the trips here to Ethiopia and to Swaziland. I know nothing about them. Were there any public representatives participating, or was this just a matter for officialdom? Because I think that we need to know what is happening elsewhere, the same way as Canada was referred to. Our neighbours possibly could give us an eye-opener, or else we could learn from them. But interaction is vital. So, do we ever come along on these jollies, or is it just for officials? Or was I just excluded, but I'm not aware of it? Thank you.
Chairperson, obviously, if...
together so that you can be able to know exactly where we are stuck as a department and and where we are going to interrogate as a member of the committee, instead of looking at more issues in the report that has not been achieved since the department has not yet done anything yet. Thank you very much, Chair. Bye.
There's one question I forgot there, Chair, the intergenerational dialogue. They said there were very interesting issues that were raised there, and those issues are for them. Can you share it with us so that we know what are those interesting intergenerational issues that they had that helped you to develop other programs?
It hasn't been a good day, and you know, I'll never be about. Go back to the drawing board. We've given you some areas of concern. Analyze your report and come back to us with proper answers. And the outcry has always been the outstanding issue. And that is why I actually had to stress it. How much are you going to pay for this other lady whose case has not been finalized today? I was very young when the program started. I'm getting bareheaded. Try not to do your work diligently and come back with those answers with the relevant people from the different departments. Please, let's not be a laughing stock. Unfortunately, I have to close this meeting. Shriner, I expect you to respond to some of the outstanding issues within 7 days. Okay?
Yeah, come on. Thank you.